Well, that's a good song, and certainly corresponds with what we're going to be talking about tonight, your purpose in life. How many of you know you have a purpose in life? You know, sometimes people never really unearth their purpose in life. It was Solomon who wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven." So we know that we all have purposes in life. Sometimes we tend to forget, even if we knew it. But if I were to ask you tonight, and I will, what is your purpose in life? Is it just to get up in the morning and go to work and eat lunch and work in the afternoon and come back home that night and eat and then go to bed and get up the next morning and head back out to the workplace again? Is that all there is to life? Someone said that your life has purpose, your story is important, your dreams count, your voice matters, you were born to make an impact on the world. And I really believe that any and every one of us can. I want you to think about this just a minute. If you think right now that you're having a bad day, I want you to take your hand and place it on your heart and realize that that is called purpose. That's what purpose is really all about. And you may not have found yours yet. Maybe you have. I hope you have. But don't give up. Realize that God has a purpose for you. And it's really not that complicated. And we need to seek our purpose and our passion in life and realize what really is important. Life isn't about finding yourself, but it is about creating and discovering yourself. And many never really stop and think about that. I've given a lot of thought to it in my lifetime. What is my purpose? What is your purpose? What should we be doing in this life? You know, you will never, ever be reincarnated. Now, I know a lot of people that like to assume that, that you're going to be reincarnated. A guy told me one time, I said, "You think you're going to be reincarnated?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want to come back like a mosquito or as a mosquito and haunt my mother-in-law." Well, maybe that's not the best ambition at all. But it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and after death, the coming judgment of God. And when you read the Bible, not only here in the book of Hebrews 9, you could go back to Romans chapter 14, verse 12. I mean, you could go to Revelation chapter 20 and understand that judgment will follow one's death. Nothing is ever taught in the Holy Scriptures about people coming back actually as another life form and inheriting the earth. Just doesn't do it. You see, there are two destinies. You and I can choose our destiny, and I'm so thankful and glad that we can. We determine our destiny. You do. Eternal life to those. Listen to the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, he said, seek for glory, honor, and self-seeking immortality. But to those who are and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he said, there is indignation, there is wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we understand that if we're going to go to heaven, we have to fulfill the purposes of God. Someone asked me one time, they said, "Well, what is your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is?" I know what my purpose is. I've zeroed in on it many, many times. And my purpose is to fulfill the purpose of God. It is. Now, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, when Paul wrote this letter to this young minister, Timothy, he was encouraging him to do the same thing. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose." Paul knew what his purpose was. He did. And he teaches that we can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4 and verse 13. "But you followed my faith, you followed my purpose, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance." And if it's anybody that we want to mimic tonight or to be like or to imitate, it is that of Jesus Christ. You know, on one occasion, Paul even said, "Be ye imitators of me, even as also I am of Christ." But we get back to the question, why am I here? Did you know that life really has six purposes? I think you might could come up with more, but I'm going to share these with you tonight because I think they're so important. If you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion, for your passion will lead you perfectly to your purpose, and it will. What's your passion? What are you passionate about in life? Some purpose, if you will, number one, to be popular. There are a lot of people that believe that being popular in this world is the most important thing in all of the world. God didn't put you here to win a popularity contest. He didn't. He didn't put me here. And I realize that, you know, preachers never please everybody. Y'all understand that, don't you? You don't have to look so stoically about it. But preachers never please everybody. It ain't gonna happen, so don't even try. Don't worry about it. I'm not in a popularity contest, just not in one. Absalom in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Samuel 15, verse 1 through 6, was the son of David. And David actually had Absalom, all right, and he loved him very, very deeply. But Absalom had led a revolt against his father because he thought that he was more popular than King David. And so, you know the story of Absalom, how he led that revolt, and one day he got his hair caught in the tree, and he hung there, and he died. And you know when he died, you know what David said about it? He said, "Absalom, Absalom, my son." He said, "Would to God that I could have died for you." Great love. But David's popularity did not wane. But sometimes it is the goal of politicians to be very, very popular. And in reality, I guess you could say that when you go into the booth to vote on November the 7th or the 5th, whatever it is, you're going to go in there and you're going to cast your lot based upon the one that is more popular with you than anyone else. Now you may like Kamala, you may like Donald Trump. You're going to vote for one of them, but a lot of politicians seek for popularity. Rulers seek for popularity, those that are in positions of power. Now, in John 12 and 42, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." You see, they were not aligning themselves with Jesus, even though they may have understood that was their purpose. But they said, "We can't do this because here we are, we're Pharisees, and if we align with Jesus, then they're going to throw us out of the synagogue and say, we had to change in order to be back in a relationship with God." Proverbs 29 and 18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. We all have to have a vision of where we want to be and what we want to accomplish in this life. The young man that came forward this morning and was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins said he had set his goal to have a new purpose in life. That's what he wanted. "I want my old life to be gone." And that's really what happens in the waters of baptism. When one is baptized into Christ, the new life emerges when you come out of that water. But older people are not immune to this thing of seeking popularity either. A lot of them are overcome with vanity. Solomon said, "All in this life is vanity and vexation of the spirit." They want to be accepted. Old people do. Everybody wants to be accepted. You hear that these days. And sometimes people are willing to go to extremes to be accepted. The fear of man, however, brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 51 and 12. He said, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? By the way, he was not talking about the Green New Deal. He wasn't. What he was talking about was everlasting life. Some people, secondly, purpose to be different. You ever been around people sometimes that just struck you that way? They just wanted to be different from everybody else. I mean, you could say it's a beautiful day outside, and somebody else said, well, I don't think it's that great. You could say, well, we had a little cooler weather this morning. Well, it's gotten hot all afternoon, though. And you know, you can say something is black, and they'll say it's white. And you know, it's amazing to me that people want to be so different. Now, I understand that the Bible in the book of Jude says that we are to make a difference in the lives of others, and we are. But the Bible stresses not necessarily being so different, but it stresses humility. For in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. Some women don't know how to do that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Sometimes people want to go back patting themselves on the back and acting like they're the authority. You see, that's not what we ought to be doing. That's not our purpose. You don't have to be different in the sense that you just are being different for the sake of being different. I believe God's people ought to be different. Peter said that we are a royal priesthood of God, and that makes us different, doesn't it, from the rest of the world? Everything in your life is a reflection of a choice that you have made. If you want a real different result in your life, make a difference. Exercise your right to choose, and dare to be different spiritually speaking. Sometimes people purpose to be remembered by man. That always amazes me sometimes, that people want to be remembered by mankind. You know what? I want to be remembered by God. By God, I don't care what people say. You know, I want to be remembered by God, and if my heart is right with God, and if I'm doing what God has asked me to do, hey, I'm not worried about pleasing everybody else. You don't have to. I'm not interested in being remembered by man. Great kings set up stone pillars to be remembered by man. They do. Now, we've been taking down a lot of them here in America lately, and I'm not real sure that's what we ought to be doing either. But I don't think those monuments are being worshipped by people. Think of all the life, work, activities that are forgotten in 100 years. Do you realize that in 100 years you will be forgotten? They are. They're going to say, Dan Manuel, who? That's, honestly, they will. In 100 years from now, they will say that about you. Does that depress you? Maybe it does. I'm not here tonight to depress you. I like walking through the cemetery and reading the tombstones and what people have on the tombstones. One guy said, I made some good deals and I made some bad ones. I really went in the hole on this one. Oh, what about this one? Here lies Bill, who always lied and who always will. He lied once too often. Now he lies still. When it's judgment day and I don't rise, you will know that someone put me in the wrong hole. Here lies an old atheist by the name of Joe, all dressed up and no place to go. What will be remembered of this generation 100 years from now? And time passes so quickly, doesn't it? It does. Immensely. It flies by. In Ecclesiastes 2 and 16, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. since all that now is will be forgotten in days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Because we go through life seeking things that we should not be seeking. And we go through life trying to take care of everybody else's business instead of taking care of our own. And that's what we should be doing. Some purpose to eat, drink, and be merry. They do. A lot of people go through life. That's their quest. It's kind of like the rich man of the book of Luke, chapter 12. When he tore down his barns to build bigger barns, one wasn't enough. He wanted to build plural barns. And he said, I will eat, drink, and I will be merry, he said. But God said to him, you know what? Your purpose is foolish. Even better than that, you are a fool. And it is the only time in God's word that Jesus ever called a man a fool, but he was foolish. If God is the beginning and the end of all things, then self-seeking is a vain pursuit. It is. Eat, drink, and be merry is not our purpose in this life. Sometimes people purpose to be remembered by God. Have you ever stopped to consider all of the people that have been remembered by God in the Holy Scriptures? The Bible speaks of Adam and Eve from the very dawn of creation. The Bible speaks of Abraham, who was the father of the Hebrew nation. It speaks of his son Isaac. It speaks of Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau. It speaks of Noah. It speaks of Moses, who was the leader of the children of Israel. It speaks of the great giant Joshua. Think of all of the men of the Old Testament, the great prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Nahum. Little book, great impact. Think about all of those people that were remembered by God, and they were remembered in a favorable way. You know why? They understood their purpose. Their purpose was to honor God. It was. And you know what? When we seek to honor God, we are fulfilling the purposes that we read about in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. In the book of Luke 10 and verse 20, Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you. They had been out on a mission taking care of the responsibility of leading the lost to Jesus Christ. And they had supernatural powers, for God had invested in them those powers to do all kinds of things. While they could speak to an evil spirit, and they could exercise that spirit and bring it out of an individual. I mean, they could lay their hands on people and heal them. They could even speak to the dead and raise them. And they were glorying in all of that. But Jesus says, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, that's a thing to rejoice about, folks, isn't it? To know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says that when one is baptized into Christ, as Ethan was this morning, then his name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. One thing we should remember is the fact that our name can be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life just as easily as it goes in. For when we become evil and we become corrupt and we cease to do the purpose of God, then it would be very easy for God to blot out our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Life should not be measured in terms of quantity. How many years you live, and you know, it's a great, great thing to be able to live a long, good life. By the way, our oldest member of the church is here tonight. Anybody have any idea who the oldest member of the Crockett Road Church of Christ is? They're all pointing to you, Bob. I don't know how old you are, but no, I do. You're 39 and holding? How old would you be if you let go? 93 tomorrow. Can you imagine that? We're going to sing happy birthday to him later. But that's amazing, isn't it? It is. That's remarkable. And what a great servant of God. He has been fulfilling the purposes of God as long as I have known him. And he will be remembered with great favor, not just by God, but by mankind as well. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. God always remembers what we do. He takes note of our life. Exodus 2 and verse 24. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19 said, "Remember me with favor, O my God, for all that I have done for these people." You know, it's hard for us to even imagine the favor that God is going to show upon us. But it will be tremendous when we have fulfilled his purpose. For at that judgment, Jesus will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very foundation of the world." He will. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Even the thief on the cross wanted the benefits of Jesus' blood. For he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Psalm 78 and 35 says, "And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer." That is something we should never forget. Show God your faith and he'll show you his faithfulness. There's a song that we sing sometime in our book. It's called "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And God is faithful. And God asks us to be faithful. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. God remembers his mercy. For Psalm 98, 2 and 3 says, "The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations." You know why America is standing tonight? I mean, have you ever thought about it? We had a war here one time. It was called the Civil War. But have you ever thought about the fact that America is not under siege tonight? It's not under siege because we have a God who loves this country. And he wants what's best for this country. And we have an opportunity come November to change the course and the direction of this nation once again. And I hope and pray that God will give us the intestinal fortitude and the courage to do just that. Is there an amen on that? "He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." I've told you before, the nation of Israel, and of course Israel's going through some really tough times right now with Hezbollah and Hamas and other terrorist organizations. But I've told you before, the greatest nation that God has ever blessed was the nation of Israel. I believe America's been blessed by God, and I'm thankful that God has preserved America. But the greatest nation in all the world that has been blessed by God is the nation of Israel. And the reason I say that, it was through Israel that Jesus Christ our Lord, and through his lineage, he came. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. And the Bible says, "And the Lord remembered Noah. He showed his favor upon Noah and his family because they were fulfilling their purpose." I don't know about Ms. Noah. And I know that Noah didn't have enough religion for the whole family. The Bible says that 8 souls were saved by water when it talked about baptism. But Noah, like Enoch, the Bible says of Enoch that he walked with God. And you know what? We must walk with God as well. 1 John 1 and verse 7. And last of all, some people purpose to fear God and keep His commandments. That's my purpose. It's always been my purpose. What's God's purpose for my life and how can I do it? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That just kind of spells it out, doesn't it, in John 14 and verse 15. And by the way, if you look on a little bit further down in that text, in verse 21, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Solomon was right in Ecclesiastes 12 when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear God, respect Him. That's what the word fear means. And keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether it is evil. To be judged by God is an awesome thing. I'm glad we don't judge each other. Yeah, that judgment doesn't matter to a hill of beans anyway. The judgment that really counts is the judgment that comes from our God who is in heaven. And in Psalms 20, verse 1 and 2, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God, the God of Jacob, defend you, and may He send you help from, listen, the sanctuary, and strengthen you out of Zion. You know what the sanctuary was? Sanctuary was like the synagogue. A lot of people refer to their church auditorium as the sanctuary. And I guess there's as much authority for calling where we're meeting tonight the sanctuary as it is for calling it the church auditorium. You never read about a church auditorium in the Bible, do you? You do read about sanctuary. We even sing a song about that. You know, when you come to worship in the sanctuary, you should feel blessed. As we said this morning, and honored that God is among us tonight. And in Psalms 20, verse 4 and 5, David said, may He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. And I'm confident God's going to do that. We rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners, and may the Lord fulfill your petitions. Your life won't ever be perfect, but it will be purposeful. And we ought to be more concerned tonight about our own purpose than everybody else's purpose. Because God has positioned us to fulfill our purpose. What is your purpose? What best describes you tonight? What is your future? What is your future? Is there a gap between where you are and fulfilling your purpose and going to heaven? We must focus on the right thing. And the question tonight is, are you ready to find your focus? I will pursue God's plan and His purpose for my life. That is what it's all about. How do you find it? The steps of a good man are ordered by God. Let Him lead you. And it may be tonight there are others in this audience that need to come to Christ, maybe to make that same step, to acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior and penitently believing upon Him and the great promises that He's made, and then being immersed in water baptism for the remission of your sins. And maybe you're weak, and maybe you need the prayers of the body of Christ tonight. Look at your own life before you look at others. Look at who you are and where you are. Are you fulfilling your purpose? While we stand and while we sing.